This week's letter comes to us from Little Joni. Little Joni writes, "Dear George G., would you rather?" Ah, we haven't played Would You Rather in a minute. Little Joni, thank you. "Dear George G., would you rather listen to talking heads on the television spew on about tariffs, or would you rather hit your thumb with a hammer?" That's a tough question right there. Anybody who's ever hammered a nail probably had the experience of bringing that hammer down on your thumb and knowing just how lousy that is. Ouch! Ouchie! Sharp, acute pain followed by sort of prolonged, numb, dull pain. Maybe even have some bruising in your fingernail. It's rough. It is rough. I don't recommend you do it. Just take my word for it. So, knowing the pain of that, how do I balance that against my disdain for just the media in general? Financial media, the CNNs, the Foxes of the world, the MSNBCs of the world. Droning on, pattering on about the virtues and the stupidity of our politicians. Used to be that they served a purpose, right? What was it, the Fifth Estate? It would be speaking truth to power, but we're not there anymore. But you already know that. That's not the point. Little Joni, I would rather hit my hand with a hammer. That's what I'd rather do. Right in the thumb. Right there. Boom! And I guess after I'm done with this, I'll go do that. It doesn't specify. I could use a rubber hammer. All right, it's kind of a little workaround, Joni. Sorry about that. It's still not going to feel good, but I will take it. I will take it. Anyway, tariffs. Can't get away from tariff talk these days. And I didn't realize, and maybe you didn't realize either, that tariffs are new. They've not been imposed by other countries or our country for hundreds of years. Oh, wait, they have been. They've been around for a really long time. Wait a minute. But we're the only ones that do it? No. No other countries. In fact, every other country that's a sovereign organization or country on planet Earth imposes some form of tariffs. Did you know that? Listening to the media, you probably wouldn't think that. You probably wouldn't know that. But it is kind of an exhausting thing. And one of the challenges that we have, and I'm going to get into sort of a background on tariffs and what is, at least from my perspective, I'm going to try to suss out what's really going on here. But we engage way too often as individuals and then collectively in very short-term thinking. And perhaps a good way to also, as a comparative, is to think about a publicly traded company versus a private company. And when you're a publicly traded company, you need to release results on a quarterly basis to your stockholders. And so the SEC and different governing bodies can look at your books. And what that causes you to do a lot of the time is to think in more short term. More, you just engage in more short-term thinking, because if you miss on a revenue target or whatever it might be, odds are your stock price is going to go down because you did not deliver during that time period. And so bad news will have a negative effect on your shareholders and the value of your company. And so I ask you to think about that for a minute. For your organization, for your life, does it make more sense to be thinking in terms of 3-year increments, or rather 4-year increments, or does it make sense to think in 3-month increments? I think that the answer is obvious and clear, is that it makes more sense for you and your personal financial situation and your families to be thinking in terms of 3-year increments instead of 3 months, which is obviously a quarter, going back to the quarterly earnings thing that I was just talking about a second ago. So there's wisdom there. And so we have lost the ability. That's not true. I think that real life is very much different than what it is that we see on the internet. It's very different than what we see on X and all different social media, and certainly the news media. They have a burden in that they have to have programming on 24/7 these days. And that's true of everything. Think about sports media, you think about financial media, you think about political media. There's a need for new content to get more eyeballs, to get more clicks, to get attention. And how do we do that? Well, it's not by talking about things that are right down the middle. It's not talking about nuance. It's not even providing good, solid education. It's just doing salacious stuff that's going to surprise, enrage, scare. You get it. That's kind of the program, and it's a real bummer. And it causes, I think, uncertainty and certainly unrest, and it's just really concerning. Because whatever side of the political spectrum that you are on, you do not want your life to be dramatically impacted in a bad way. You may not even want your life to be dramatically impacted in a good way. So when we're hearing that, oh my gosh, tariffs are the worst thing in the world, or that tariffs are the best thing in the world, and da 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 da, it's really hard for us to make heads and tails of things. So what I was hoping to do and what I'm going to do, not on a hope trip here, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to break it down and say what's really going on here, and hopefully give you some information so you can make up your own mind as to whether or not you think that tariffs are going to be a good thing or a bad thing, and long term, whether or not you think that tariffs are going to be a good thing or a bad thing. So, to start off by just talking about what tariffs are, they are taxes that are imposed by governments on stuff entering or leaving a country. But they're most commonly applied to imports or stuff coming into a country from other countries. And they are tools that are used to regulate international trade. They work by increasing the price of foreign goods. So when the United States is importing goods into Canada, sometimes Canada will increase the price of those goods, which makes them less competitive compared to Canadian-made products. So a government will set the tariff as a percentage of the goods value. So if you put a 10% tariff on oil, it's coming from the United States to Canada, and a barrel of oil costs $100, that means that it would cost $110 per barrel of oil. Or it could simply be that there's a flat fee that is assessed, $5 per barrel of oil, $10.50. You sort of get the idea. That is the idea. So, I mean, fundamentally and foundationally, a tariff is neither a good thing nor a bad thing. And not that nothing is inherently a good thing or a bad thing. That the example I always use is divorce. Some people think that divorce is the worst thing that's ever happened to them, and there's other people that think that divorce is the best thing that's ever happened to them. And oftentimes, it's within the same two people. It's amazing. But fundamentally, divorce is neither good or nor bad. It is just a thing. So why do you do it? Why would a country impose tariffs on goods coming in? Well, I think that one of the primary reasons is that they're interested in protecting the local industries. If Canada is already making oil, why would they want American oil coming in? The thought being that Canada should be most interested in Canadian companies and supporting them more so than propping up and supporting foreign countries and foreign interests. So I don't think that that's a crazy thing. Second, I think that tariffs certainly generate revenue for the government that is imposing the tariff, especially in countries where other tax systems are less developed. So there's that. It's a revenue-generating device. Third, can also be used as a political lever, which we're seeing right now with the current administration utilizing tariffs. At least that's what we're thinking on the outside in. I don't have any idea. Well, that's not true. We have a lot of data and a lot of recorded conversations of Donald Trump talking about tariffs for literally decades. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But that's something that is absolutely going on right now. And we're seeing it play out in real time. So it's an interesting thing. So, do other countries have tariffs on the United States of America? We're up in arms about the United States, us putting tariffs on the goods of other countries coming in. Well, are they already doing that to us? And it's difficult to figure out what the exact number is, but nearly every country in the world, again, 195 sovereign nations, impose some form of tariff or import on goods that are coming into their country. It's a standard practice to regulate trade, protect industry, and generate revenue. Here's the thing, is it benefiting us? These tariffs, have they been a benefit to us? Well, the answer is no. Last year, in 2024, we had an overall trade deficit of $918 billion. So we had a deficit, along with our other deficit, of $918.4 billion last year. The largest gap coming from China, almost half of it at 900 or 295 billion, the European Union 235 billion, Mexico 171 billion, and Vietnam 123 billion dollars. So I'm not much of a math guy, but that's almost the entire number right there. It's a big chunk of it. Just those entities, China, Mexico, Vietnam, and the European Union, which is obviously a union of different European countries. So again, United States with a trade deficit of $918 billion. So that means we are taking it on the chin when it comes to trade, when it comes to tariffs. So, talked about why it is that we're doing that, talked about the reasons behind it. There are lots of different kinds of tariffs. I talked about how a lot of the time it's a flat fee, or if it's simply or it's a percentage. The downside to a tariff is that what you're potentially doing is you're going to be raising prices for the citizens of your country. Okay? And we're certainly there's a risk of that, or it's a guarantee that that's going to happen. Right now, we are the United States is pushing for higher tariffs on stuff coming from Canada, Mexico, and China. And people are worried that that's going to cause inflation and disrupt different trade balances. But I just talked about how we're already running this massive trade deficit. So why is Trump doing this now? What is the thinking from Donald Trump himself and from the administration on why this is happening now? Well, he is and pushing for, obviously, an America First agenda. Make America great again. So this is certainly part of his playbook. I think that the primary purpose is to boost the United States, to boost our manufacturing once again, and create more jobs by making foreign goods more expensive, encouraging United States companies and encouraging United States consumers to buy American-made products. So encouraging companies to reshore manufacturing, to reshore production, meaning bring it back from wherever it went, and then to really promote Buy American from you and I, so the United States citizens. Okay. He has a proposed 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico, and up to 54% on China as a way to bring back industries that were lost to globalization, which simply means we recognized companies here in the United States recognize that it's extremely cost-effective to send manufacturing jobs to other countries as opposed to doing it here. And the short-term thinking, again, it's going to go back to that, was that it made the balance sheet of these companies really good. But it had the effect of really gutting our middle class. So what we did is we built the middle class of China, and we brought them out of. We really increased the success of China by exporting a lot of our jobs and our manufacturing there. So the idea is that cheap imports have gutted American workers, especially in places like the Rust Belt. So, is it possible to bring that back? And I know that there's a lot of conversations about that, but that is the idea. At least that's one. I talked about the $900 billion trade imbalance. Well, I think that needs to be addressed also. Trump has been fixated on this for a really long time. A really, 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 really long time. And from his perspective, leveling the playing field by punishing nations that he sees as unfair traders is a positive thing. So the higher China tariff targets what he calls a horrible abuser of trade norms aiming to force concessions or shrink their market share. And there's also a revenue angle. Tariffs bring in billions of dollars. Billions. Trump's team has floated numbers like $2 trillion over the years to fund tax cuts on border security, stuff like that. So there is a lot going on. The critics of Mr. Trump, President Trump, rather, say that his real purpose is just populist optics as opposed to economic logic. Who knows? Who's to say? It certainly feels and appears, from my perspective, that he's very committed to this. Now, things might change in a snap of the fingers really soon, and it all could have just been bargaining chips, and he could just be trying to play 3D underwater chess, as so many of his supporters say that he does. And maybe he's trying to think ahead. Or maybe it really is a way to increase revenue and do whatever it is that he's interested in doing. But here is really what my perspective on this is that I think that he is betting that short-term pain, which is the form of higher prices to you and I, will yield long-term gains, which is the revival of our industrial production, our manufacturing, all of these things. And of course, this is all reliant on our ability to be patient with these things and our national pride and everything else that all the notes that he commonly hits on. So it comes down to that. I believe that at least he believes that it's the right thing to do for the long term. And that's not anything new. He's been talking about tariffs and trade imbalances for literally decades, way before he was a political operator. You can trace it back to in the 1980s when he was just a regular real estate mogul and media personality. As early as 1987, he took out a full page ad. In fact, he took out full page ads in major newspapers like the New York Times, criticizing the United States trade policies, slamming Japan for ripping off America. He argued that foreign countries were exploiting us by running trade surpluses while American workers suffered. So he's been sticking to that theme forever. By the 90s, he was doubling down on it. In a 1990 interview, he rallied against Japan again, saying, "They dump their cars and electronics here, and we do nothing about it." He floated tariffs as a fix, claiming the U.S. was a dumping ground for the world's goods. So Donald Trump has always been very plain in his language. And I think that that's one of the reasons that that people have always liked him, frankly. And it's a conversation for another day as to whether or not his level of decorum is appropriate for his office. But here we are. So, but it wasn't just Japan. By the 2000s, he had shifted to China as well, commenting on their rise as a manufacturing powerhouse in 2000. He considered running for president under the Reform Party, he proposed a 25% tariff on Chinese goods to address the growing trade deficit. So, and obviously, here we are today, 25 years later, quarter of a century later, and nothing's changed. So, interesting. What has changed is that the United States is in a far worse position economically than we were back then, and China is in a far greater, better position than they were 25 years ago. So, you certainly talked about when he launched the 2015 campaign, that tariffs and trade imbalances were a big part of it. So he's been talking about it for a long time. He has been talking about it for a long time. I don't know that anybody would call Donald Trump a trained economist, but again, I think that that's one of the reasons that people are attracted to him because he certainly enjoyed a lot of success as a business person. And I don't know that the average American has a lot of respect or appreciation for trained economists, any more than we have a lot of respect or appreciation for so many of the institutions that are in America right now. I don't know the answer to that question. We could very well have all the appreciation for economists, and no shade on economists. Economists like divorce are neither good nor bad. They just are. Some of them are right, some of them are wrong. And of course, you got a lot of financial figures out there like Jim Cramer, who apparently are wrong all the time, and that results in a good opportunity for us to make trades off of. But anyway, I think that the bottom line on a lot of this, assuming that he is simply interested in putting tariffs in place with the goal of reducing the trade imbalance and that trade deficit, and with the intention of bringing back jobs, manufacturing to help reignite the American middle class, working class people. And obviously, it's not lost on me that a lot of manufacturing jobs aren't what they used to be. And there's a big question in a lot of people's minds as to whether or not a lot of Americans would be interested in taking a manufacturing job. So I don't know. But going back to the analogy about a public company versus a private company, where public companies must report their earnings on a quarterly basis and be judged on that, which of course leads to short-term thinking, which leads to short-term decision-making, which leads to bad results, versus being able to take a very, very long-term view if you are a private company, not having to answer to shareholders on a quarterly basis, not having to answer to Wall Street analysts, not having to, you get the idea. We got to pay now or we pay later. This is true for you and your loved ones, your personal finances, and it's true of the United States of America and our economic conditions, our financial situation. Pay now or pay later. Yeah, there's going to be pain in reshoring manufacturing. But the bet is it'll be short-term pain. Same as if you're in debt, if you're up to your eyeballs in credit card debt, living paycheck to paycheck, you need to endure some short-term pain to get out of the red and into the black. Pay off your debt, get into a positive financial position. Saving money is hard for most people. I need to be thinking about my future self. I need to be putting money aside for my retirement, not just spending it all today, even though I might like to. I might really want to just be on the hedonic treadmill and just making myself happy all the time and buying awesome stuff. But if I do that, well, the pain when I'm older is going to be awful. I'm going to be in a bad position. Pain shows up in every aspect of life, and you got to choose your hard. You're either going to enjoy or rather endure the pain of discipline, or you will endure the pain of regret. That's the choice. Endure temporary discomfort of self-discipline to achieve long-term goals, or face the potential lasting pain of regret from inaction. You cannot have it both ways. We do not get our cake and eat it too. We need to take a long-term view on our country and on ourselves and recognize that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And when we are up to our eyeballs in debt, when we're running massive budget deficits and massive trade deficits, I don't understand why we're not more open to making a change, because what we're doing just isn't working. What we're doing is obviously not sustainable. So, little Joni, thanks so much for your letter. Would I rather hit myself in the finger, the thumb with a hammer, or would I rather listen to morons on TV drone on about tariffs? Taking the hammer, I'm going to go do it right now. Thanks for the letter. Maybe next time, don't make me choose between such horrific pain in the short term, but I'll take the short term pain of the hammer on the thumb, just like I'll take the short term pain of higher cost of goods, ensuring that my kids have a country to live in and an economy to work in. Friendly reminder, never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. Act accordingly.